The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Adrian Cummins, Chief Executive of the Restaurants Association. Not unexpected, no change to the VAT rate. So how are your members going to cope now with something that they must have known was not coming for you?
Good evening, Matt. Well, it wasn't for the want of trying in terms of our lobbying campaign. In fact, we had met senior government ministers on three occasions in the last 2 weeks, and there was never a mention of that we were not going to get the VAT rate. We put forward a case in terms of that was the only show in town to support our industry. And so these businesses now that are listening in and wondering what's going to happen into the future, some of them will start to close because they've come to the end of the road and the VAT rate would have been a lifesaver for them. Others will try and get to the Christmas period and hopefully they make enough cash to get them through the lean months in the winter time. But the point that we're trying to make to the government and the TDs is there are the structure of hospitality in terms of food-led businesses is broken. The cost implications of running that type of a business is out of control. And when you have wage inflation again of another 7%, because your minimum wage will fuel wage inflation, that's another hit on the bottom line on your margin. And there's only so much the businesses can charge the customers at the end of the day. So there seem to be a lot of busy fools out there in terms of our industry, and some of them will say to themselves, this is the end of the road, we'll just close our doors. And that's what you'll see over the next number of months.
How many premises would you fear might decide to close?
Well, there are 700 premises have closed since September of last year when the VAT rate went up. And I would say we'll go over 1,000 in the next 12 months. So these businesses will be lost in streets and towns and villages and cities across the country as part of our economic fabric and also part of our tourism industry. And it is going to be very, very hard now in certain parts of the country to find a restaurant open on a Monday or a Tuesday night. And that's the reality of it. And that's going
to be. I've heard it, for example, Cork City Centre, friends of mine recently on a Monday night could not find a good restaurant open.
And that's because those restaurants are having to cut back on costs in terms of labour, which is one of the largest parts of their cost portfolio. And they have taken the decision not to open on a Monday or a Tuesday and they're working 5 days a week. And tourist areas across the country, this is going to have a major impact on them. We've got soundings already that tourists are not happy about it, because if you come to a country, you expect to be able to get a bite to eat on a Monday or a Tuesday night. But this is going to be an issue now into next year. In saying all of that, the government decided to give us a €4,000 grant to help us with our costs. And when you break that down, that's €79 per week for 52 weeks. Not a lot when you're facing wage inflation of 7%, the general cost of business not coming down as much as it should, and the VAT rate still where it is. So difficult and uncharted waters for our industry into the future. And hopefully we will be able to keep as many on board, but it is the survival of the fittest at the moment.
Adrian Cummins from the Restaurants Association of Ireland, thank you. Jean McCabe, Chief Executive of Retail Excellence Ireland. I understand you're also disappointed, but you particularly don't like the 80 cent increase in the minimum wage to €13.50 per hour. Why not?
Well, I think you need to paint in the bigger context, Matt. So if you consider in the last 3 years alone, if we add in that 80 cent, you're looking at a 30% increase on the minimum wage for retail and for hospitality. And we've always argued that if government's mission is to go towards a living wage and we're all for paying employees fairly, you have to offset the cost somewhere else on the P&L for the business, because there's a lot of them starting to operate in the red. And we were had been lobbying hard to try and get the VAT rate brought down or PRSI brought down, so that it allows for businesses to be able to absorb those types of increases. But unfortunately, the budget fell majorly short in delivering that. And just like Adrian mentioned there, you know, we'd have major concern of what it could look like for the retail landscape of towns and cities across the country after Christmas, because we're certainly hearing from our members that they're running out of cash, they're trading in the red, as Adrian said, busy fools. We all know that it's a challenge day in, day out managing a business, but when you're laden with these type of cost increases, it has become a very, very difficult space to operate.
Okay, thank you very much, Jean McCabe from Retail Excellence Ireland. Hubert Fitzpatrick is with us, Director General of the Construction Industry Federation. It must be a good day for your members, because it seems like the government is about to spend an absolute fortune on housing and infrastructure. So presumably all of your members are going to make lots of money out of that, are they?
Good evening, Matt. Well, the key platforms of our budget submission to government earlier on this year was for infrastructure and housing and planning. And certainly we're pleased to see the additional allowance allocation of €3 billion for infrastructure, which is critically needed. I mean, we have a population set to grow by a further 20% over the next 15 years, with a 40% growth in population from the turn of the century up to 2020. And we've actually been utilising all the available capacity within the existing infrastructure to accommodate the strong economic development that we've achieved over the last number of years.
So what do you mean by capacity? Is that in relation to workforce and equipment or what?
No, I was talking about capacity within the infrastructure network in terms of water supply, energy, transport.
And we do need to improve that. But actually, when it comes to the infrastructure of the construction sector, do you have enough equipment? Do you have enough workers to do all of the additional work that's required?
What we wanted was to see pipeline of work coming forward to enable the industry invest in the resources that are required to deliver on this key infrastructure. If we see certainty that the water service projects are coming on stream as they should be, with an additional €1 billion allocated to Irish Water, and we see additional funding to the Land Development Agency to the value of €1.25 billion, and indeed another €750 million in respect of energy, that will provide certainty to the industry going forward that those projects are going to come to fruition.
And then you'll buy the machinery, is it, and hire the staff?
And they can put that in place with certainty. We need all this infrastructure so that the houses can be delivered to meet the needs of a growing population.
But are there enough construction workers there? Can they transfer, for example? We've had a rash of commercial properties been built, not just in Dublin, around the country, office blocks and whatever, in recent times. That seems to have died off a bit now. Can those people be pushed into other forms of construction?
Certainly they can. They can transfer across from the commercial sector into the residential sector. And we've seen key elements of the sector actually export a lot more services over the last number of years, where we see a lot more of export. Let's ensure that we have the certainty at home that we can bring those workers back home, that they can deliver for the country here that we need it. There's a lot of good in this budget in terms of infrastructure, and we've seen also the extension of the Help to Buy scheme up to 2029. That's going to provide some certainty for first-time buyers in respect of purchase of houses in the future, and will provide some certainty to the industry that there will be buyers there for the houses over the next number of years.
Is this budget ambitious enough in the number of houses and apartments it believes can be built in the next year or so?
I think it is. I mean, it's all going in the right direction. We're putting the infrastructure in place to ensure that it can be delivered. If that infrastructure is not provided, we would certainly have serious concerns that the industry would not be able to deliver the required number of houses. But we need the actual programming, if this works, get along with the planning of it with certainty, and let's have a focus to ensure that we can deliver that infrastructure within a timely manner.
Okay, and we have Orla O'Connor with us now from the National Women's Council. Orla, so many things in education, such as free school books extended to the end of the post-primary schools. We have a major number of new special education teachers and SNAs. Free transport for children under the age of 9. Hot meals for all primary schools. Additional payments for child benefit. Is this overall a good budget for families and for mothers?
I think there are a number of measures in it, and particularly it's the permanent measures that the National Women's Council is welcoming. So things like what you said about the free school book scheme, I mean, they're really important. Also the increases in maternity, paternity, parents and adoptive benefits, they really need to be increased. And it does mean that parents will have greater choices, and particularly in those early years of a child's life. And I think that's really critical. The other, I suppose, significant permanent measure that we're welcoming today is the women's health package, and the fact that there will be increased access to IVF, and also HRT will be free of charge. And I think there's been a significant shift in Irish society in relation to the menopause, and that's being recognised, I think, in today's budget, which is hugely positive for women's health. There is a big but in this, Matt, and I mean, I think one of the most critical things in this budget is that it hasn't addressed our childcare crisis. And we know that that's one of the most significant payments and expenditures that families are making, because childcare is so expensive in Ireland. And their government have done nothing in this budget to address it. Not just to address the costs, but also there's no transformation in terms of the crisis that is there. There's a crisis for the workers within the childcare sector and being paid so low wages, but also for parents in terms of what they pay. And I think it is a real failure of the government not to have addressed it, and points really strongly to why this issue needs to be so prominent in our general election.
Thank you very much, Orla O'Connor from the National Women's Council. Ian Guider has stayed with us from the Business Post. So let's sort of summarise what has been going on. And I suppose in a broader macro sense, is this a budget that essentially, despite the denials of various ministers on this programme today, is designed to win a general election, one which might take place very soon?
If this isn't a pre-election giveaway budget, I'd hate to see a pre-election giveaway budget. We are spending another 10.5 billion euro this year. You heard it from Huber. 3 billion going into infrastructure needed. We've got tax cuts, social welfare increases, energy credits on the way, even though they're not means tested. You've got one-off lump sums being paid twice before Christmas on child benefit and on social welfare increases.
Might that not be good politics, even if it's poor economics?
Great politics. Who knows whether the bounce the polls politicians will get in the polls will last. You've also got an extra couple of billion euro going into the Department of Health budget. You've got billions extra going down in the next couple of years on the Apple money going further into infrastructure. Matt, how are we going to afford this in the long term?
But is it not necessary to make that investment in infrastructure to protect the corporation tax and income tax flows?
The criticism of the government from the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council has been they're trying to do everything now. Why are you doing tax cuts now? Why are you doing spending increases now? Pick one or the other, because at some point in time, the economic miracle that has been the foreign direct investment sector, corporation tax receipts, may not be there. And that is the danger we got into in the past. We're having this approach where we want everything everywhere all at once, rather than picking one or two things to spend the money on and say, sorry, we'd like to give you a tax cut or get rid of the USC. We can't. We're prioritising investment in social welfare spending. We're prioritising health, getting on top of waiting lists. We're prioritising housing. We're prioritising energy. Take a couple of things rather than do everything at the same time, because we do know history repeats itself. We are running a big risk of overheating the economy, that we have no extra capacity, and that at some point in time, the sources of all of this revenue will just disappear.
What about the unexpected? COVID was the big unexpected. The invasion of Ukraine by Russia, big unexpected. More people texting into me, just really deeply worried by what's going on in the Middle East at present, that if you have a full-out war developing between Israel and Iran, apart from the human suffering in the region, you are going to have vast economic consequences, particularly with potentially oil flows.
And we have seen an increase in oil prices today. Stock markets are down, but I think we're also ignoring the more immediate dangers, that we are having an economic boom right now that is not being replicated anywhere apart from the United States. The Chinese economy has fallen through the floor. In France today, they're announcing tax increases to cope with their budget deficit. Germany's economy is on the floor. We have been so lucky over the last 10 years with the amount of corporation tax revenue that we have taken in. I gave you the figures earlier on. We are running a budget surplus of nearly 24 billion this year. But if you take away the Apple money, if you take away the windfall corporation tax receipts, we're actually running a budget deficit. We have been running budget deficits 4 years simply because we have benefit from this largesse.
Ian Guider from the Business Post, thank you for all of your contributions since 4:30.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.